On ABC Radio Melbourne, this is Breakfast with Sammy J.
Pick up a pen, find yourself some paper, draw a serious portrait. Yeah, nah, maybe later. Why go high when you can go low? Add a speech bubble in and let yourself go. Cause life is short, so stick on some tunes. Taking life by the horns, yeah, we're drawing cartoons. Michelle Commander is a cartoonist. Oh, the life that escaped me as someone who loves to read cartoons and someone who loves to draw cartoons, but not quite as beautiful as yours, Michelle. Good morning and welcome in the club.
Oh, hi, Sammy. Thanks so much for having me.
You have identified for a good 15 years or so as, well, yeah. I guess, could I call you a corporate worker?
Well, yes, probably more than 15 years a corporate worker. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've spent a bit of my time in the corporate corridors for sure.
And yet all alongside that time has run this love of illustration and drawing.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Yeah, I work for a big bank, but I've always been a cartoonist. I've always been someone who likes to draw pictures. I mean, lots of people do, don't they? And I've loved hearing your stories about people doodling this morning. It's really good.
I find so many people, though, you know, when your kids or teenagers, drawing is a thing you're encouraged to do. You do it so much. Yeah. And yet it just, pretty much at age 18, often it just drops off, you know, it drops off the agenda. Did that happen to you, or has it always actually bubbled along?
No, it dropped off as well. You know, look, I was always the kid who, you know, for school classes, you know, I'd do the class caricature, or I'd do a farewell card for the teacher if they were leaving, or I'd do a birthday card or something like that. I did lots of little side cartoons along the way. But then somewhere after uni, I guess when you start to enter the serious adult world, you sort of get into your career and it started to drop away a little bit. So I did some doodles on the phone, like lots of people, for all that time, but I didn't really do so much serious cartooning for a long time.
And then what changed more recently? Because I've seen your work now and it's beautiful and it's prolific.
Thank you. That's very nice. I was quite unwell about 7 or 8 years ago, and I had to take some time off my work, off my corporate job, to get some treatment and whatnot, and had a lot of time on my hands feeling a bit miserable and sorry for myself. And I'd always really coveted, you know, as a cartoonist, as an illustrator, I'd always wanted one of those fancy graphics tablets. You know, I like paper and pens and ink and mess wasn't really my thing. So I'd always wanted one of these things that came back from a time when I think I saw the late Bill Leake on a television documentary once, and he was using this graphics tablet. I thought, oh, I have to get myself one of those. Never did. And then when I was unwell, my husband very sweetly said, look, let's get you one of those and keep yourself a bit occupied. So I got myself a graphics tablet and just started doodling a little bit more on that, and then put the word out there, started a website, got the word of mouth going, did a few caricatures for friends and family, and before you know it, I had a little side thing going on.
A side hustle. Michelle, I love hearing that tablet story, because I have been far too reluctant to embrace that as someone who, you know, who wants to draw, until more recently using a tablet to actually do little pictures. And I had to get over the idea that it was cheating, which, you know, it's not. It's a tool. It's a graphic, you know. But it sounds like you had a similar sort of, well, maybe you always had that desire, but where do you think that intersects versus the old school cartoonist with a pencil in their ear and they're scrubbing away with an eraser, and if they make a mistake, it's all over?
Yeah, look, I think that's the way we all start, right? I mean, when you're little, of course, you just love to get your pencils and your coloured pencils. You love colouring in, you love all that sort of stuff, and I did as well. But then the perfectionist in me came out, Sammy. You know, I wanted things to be perfect, and when they weren't, I'd like scrunch my paper up in fury and chuck it in the corner and swear I'd never touch it again because I couldn't get the nose quite right or couldn't get something quite right, and wasted lots of paper and lots of pens. And these graphic tablets, I mean, yeah, it's not cheating. There's a lovely thing called an undo button, which sort of saves you having to throw things out, frankly, and that makes it really, really great. But paper and pens and the old-fashioned way, I still do a little bit of doodling on paper as well, of course, but the sharp cartoons that I produce for my friends and customers, that tends to be on graphics tablets, digital, yeah.
And do you use, can I ask, this is not after any sort of endorsement, and I'm genuinely interested on a tech level. Is it a certain? Is it an iPad you use, or use a separate tablet now?
I've got one of those big Wacom Cintiq. This is what I mean. When I was unwell, I was feeling sorry for myself. It helps when you have gadgets to play with and keep you occupied.
And then I've got a big
tablet.
And the big one, is that attached to a desktop computer you use?
It's attached to a Mac. And I've got all the software I need just with some basic drawing packages. I do use Illustrator and some of the fancier ones, Vector Art, which is a bit complicated at times, but for the most part it's very simple. And then iPads have got great over the last couple of years, so I tend to use an iPad just for doodling and things, and that does as good a job as anything, really.
I'm chatting to Michelle Commander, a cartoonist, here on Inda Club, when we like to explore specific little hobbies that don't often get as much attention as they should, in particular cartoons. Michelle, why cartoons? You are clearly a talented artist. You could turn your hand to portraits, landscapes, cityscapes. Why cartoons?
Yeah, look, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I've always been drawn to them. When I was a... Oh, pardon the pun. That was a bit weak.
Not as weak as me asking people to send me pictures of doodles, so you're fine.
I used to sort of scour the newspapers and things and cut out the cartoons. I used to always just be really drawn to them. My dad used to subscribe, I don't know if you remember, the Bulletin magazine used to have some fabulous little gag cartoons throughout, and I used to, you know, churn through those, ignore all the written commentary and just look for the cartoons. And just for some reason, I was always really, really drawn to cartooning. So as much as I try and do the more highbrow art nowadays, I tend to come back to cartoony type things just because it just is in my DNA, I think.
Well, and, you know, speaking of lowbrow or highbrow, if we ignore those definitions, I've always found that cartoons, for me, that was certainly from a comedy perspective, that was my education. You know, you can fit so much into a picture or a three-frame strip. And I used to draw my cartoons at school of my teachers and things. It was probably my first taste of creating satire because, like a song or something, you can get away with a lot more, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And look, you really admire too, you know, someone like me who's picked this up sort of quite late, I guess, after having all these other corporate distractions. I've got some heroes in the cartooning world. I love the satirical political cartoonists that are so great. I love people like David Rowe and, you know, Australian cartoonist Kathy Wilcox and people like that. My favourite cartoonist is Matt Golding for The Age.
Oh,
I think he just nails things in just a way that very few people can, I think. And cartoons allow you to do that. So it's a really nice art form to get the satire in. Not all of us are quite so sharp on our feet to think up that clever satire and put it in the cartoon. I tend to stick to things a little bit more pedestrian, I guess, than the sharp, witty satire, but it's still a great way to communicate.
Well, on that note, I know even on Insiders, the political cartoons are, you know, one of the most popular segments here on the ABC, but as you've just sort of almost referred to, it can also be divisive, that world, whereas cartoons that are there for joy and humour, leaving aside the real world, can also be the one I'm looking at right now of yours is a beautiful picture of, can I describe her as an elderly woman with an ice cream and a second ice cream for her dog on a bench?
Oh, yes. that's a while back. Dogs feature quite well. I mean, everyone loves to see their pet in a cartoon form too, I've discovered.
And do you have those requests? How does work, is work flowing to you now in terms of commissioned work, or is it more of a...
pretty much. Yeah, as much as I'm looking for, you know, I've never been churning them out. I'm not a job cartoonist. I don't, my income doesn't rely on that because I have this other gig on the side where I work for a bank. Word of mouth generally, and you know, friends and colleagues, and then sort of word spreads a bit. I've done a couple of logos. I am listed on Illustrators Australia, which is a great website for freelance illustrators, cartoonists or otherwise. I'm also a member of the Australian Cartoonists Association, and so your portfolio is up there and people find you through those.
Can listeners
those
see your work on those sites? What's the best way of looking at your work online?
Can. Yeah, there's some summary sort of portfolios there, but I've also got a website, of course, and a Facebook page. And
what's the website? Your name? Is it Michelle Commandeur?
No, it's actually www.comic, C-O-M-M-I-C. .com.au. Comic is quite a clever play, as you would see on my surname. My first name and surname happen to string together to make the word comic, I thought that was quite clever.
Perfect. And it's also clever having another job that funds this because, you know, to be a self-funded artist without the pressure of money on the work that you're creating is sort of the artistic dream, I think.
Oh, yeah, look, it's pretty rare. You know, as I said, I really admire people who can make a living and do really well, but there's very few of those people. You know, there's some rock stars in cartooning who get paid the big bucks relatively, and they're really great. But the rest of us, I think there's a lot of people who are doing their day job and doing cartooning on the side. And it's really funny, actually, because working at a bank, you know, I'm, I think, part-time cartoonist, part-time banker. I don't think either cartoonists or bankers quite know what to do with me because of that mix. It's a bit of a weird old mix.
Well, it's brilliant, and it keeps people guessing. Michelle Commandeur, cartoonist, thank you so much for joining this morning on Indie Club.
That's right. No trouble, Sammy. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much. Check out Michelle's work at COMMIC.com. Michelle Commandeur there.